Good morning, Your Honors. I'm Daniel Aronson, and along with Carrie Wiggins, we represent the appellants. We filed a motion to dismiss on mootness. I understand the court.
It sure would have been helpful if you had filed everything with that motion that you filed with your reply.
Yeah, the affidavit, yes.
Yes, the evidence that actually establishes mootness. That's partly why I think we're still here, as opposed to being able to rule on that motion earlier. So let's talk about mootness, okay? Go ahead.
Well, Your Honor, Mr. Wiggins, Mr. Ettinger, and myself, with over 100 years of experience between us, analyzed this situation up and down and backwards and forwards in order to determine whether or not this matter was moot. And we came to the conclusion that it was. We would rather it not be moot. I would love to argue this.
So your client doesn't have a business license. They vacated the premises. The lease has been terminated. And that's essentially it, right?
That's exactly it. So we thought that like I said, I would love to argue this on the merits, but I thought it was our obligation to this court, our professional obligation, to file this motion, even if it's not moot, to allow this court to know the situation as it stands right now. We held our ethical obligations to that standard, and that's why we filed the mootness. I will rely on the arguments within the motion and the affidavit because, quite candidly, again, I'd rather argue this on the merits.
My understanding in terms of the arguments is a concern by the other side that you're making the statement declaration that your client doesn't plan to reopen the business, but that declaration in and of itself is not enough. What more, if anything, do you think you could have provided? And of course, we want to know from the other side too, to provide that assurance that this issue, at least through this lens and case, will not appear before the court again.
I don't know what I could do to satisfy the other side. Quite candidly, I've been litigating against the other side and them against me for a number of years, and it doesn't appear that whatever we do, we satisfy them. So I don't know what I could have done to satisfy them.
Yeah, you'd need the cooperation of some third parties, it seems to me, to agree to lease a premises, and you would need the county to issue a business license, right?
Well, I don't have the third person.
Right. Okay. You know, it might be more productive, Mr. Aronson, if you save the remainder of your time for rebuttal so we could give you, if necessary, 12 and hear from your opponent.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Berghold. I'll start out by saying this, Mr. Berghold. I was sympathetic to your concern about the motion that when it was filed, but now that we have the reply, the declarations, we have everything before us, it's really hard for me to see how this case isn't moot.
Well, Your Honor, I think I share my opposing counsel's desire to have this case over. Mm-hmm. This is the third trip here. However, the concern that the county had was the back and forth positioning that was taken prior to the filing of the motion, the fact that we told them in correspondence weeks before the motion that there needed to be proof and affidavit, why wouldn't they give us a copy of the lease, so on and so forth. And then what they did was right before the day before the filing of the motion, or the day before Thanksgiving, which was 3 weeks ago today, I pressed them on this question. So you still have this state court certiorari case that's seeking a business license for this location. Mm-hmm. Do you agree that the statements made in support of mootness in the 11th Circuit appeal also show that the state court certiorari case is moot? Initially, they said, well, that's not what we're talking about. And I was like, they're inextricably intertwined. If you're gone forever, then why are you still seeking a business license at that site in appealing the denial of the prior business license decision? And then they came back and they said, well, that's a different legal issue. This is all attached as Exhibit D to my response to the motion to dismiss. And finally, the day before Thanksgiving, on page one, Mr. Wiggins, who's the counsel for Tokyo in the state courts, says, yes, we agree that the state court suit is moot. And I will file after the holiday, after the Thanksgiving holiday, a motion to dismiss. Here we are 3 weeks later. They've not moved to dismiss that case, and it's still set for argument this week in the Gwinnett County Superior Court. So we also have this history, right, of misrepresentations that the district court found. We had the landlord evicting them in 2018, winning an eviction case in the state court, but then coming to terms with Mr. Morrison to pay more money to stay in the spot, and that's why we're still here 5 years later. So then when I wasn't able to get the lease, I was told, hey, call the landlord's attorney. So I did that, and he told me, he said, well, my client does things on his own, and I'm not involved in everything, and I wasn't involved in some of the prior extensions of this lease, but I will tell you that as of 2 weeks ago, they were still talking to my client, trying to get back in the spot. So had they filed the motion to dismiss the state case seeking a business license at this location, that might have been more clear.
So if we held this case in abeyance, awaiting the dismissal of the state case as moot, and the state court dismissed it as moot, you would agree then that this case is moot.
Well, Your Honor, here's the complicated part, I'm not trying to be difficult.
I understand. I'm just trying to see what the terms are to get this case resolved.
There is one.
I feel like a mediator today.
Yes, Your Honor. There is one statement that I think is relevant in the motion to dismiss affidavit, the reply affidavit that they filed with their last brief, and it is paragraph 5R. It's basically the last page, and this is what it says. It says, with the loss of Tokyo Gwinnett LLCs, basically all the affiants are permanently and categorically barred from doing any business at the site. And that's just a legal argument, right? That's not true. They could buy the property tomorrow. There are several sites like this around the metro Atlanta area where they're owned. They could also come to terms and lease it. So the injunction, just because...
You don't have any evidence, right? And there's no reason for us to say that that's going to happen, that they have any property interest that it will allow them to conduct the business there, right?
That is correct, Your Honor.
And they have established that they don't have that property interest.
They have established that the lease was terminated, yes. And they vacated the premises months ago.
Right.
But wait until now.
And they don't have a business license, right?
They don't.
And if the state court dismisses their suit about the business license as moot, then what have we got left?
Well, I think what we would have remaining is a determination. Probably the state court would deny moot or grant a mootness determination, not based on the facts alleged in this case that they vacated the property, but on the fact that they applied for a 2022 business license that would have expired by now. So uh-huh. I cited those cases
okay.
in my brief.
All right.
It'd be moot for a different reason. I think
that
we would
sounds
have,
super moot.
Right. I think we have the administrative tribunal rulings and the findings of fact that under this court's decision in Traverse versus Jones would be binding against them. But what we don't have is what the district court gave us. And that was an injunction that says you can't establish any business there unless and until you pay, $11,000.
It makes no sense then in this context.
Your Honor, we are arguing that they do not have a redressable claim because of the denial of the business license on grounds that include multiple grounds not challenged in the federal lawsuit. So they lack redressability for their claims. But I do think it is a logically distinctive issue to say that the permanent injunction we obtained under our general business licensing ordinance, which was not challenged in the case, but we counterclaimed on it, that said before you do anything at that site, you pay back taxes and you give us you pay the $11,000 in back taxes and you get an appropriate business license. The way it works, and if it weren't $20,000...
That's an injunction that was entered when they were a tenant.
That is true.
And they aren't anymore.
Right. And they bear the burden under this court's mootness determination.
It was predicated on the idea that they were a tenant.
Okay, so I guess that all begs the question. Why didn't they just dismiss under Rule 42? Why didn't they just do a Federal Rule of Appeal 42... dismissal where their appeal goes away, and if it's true, that they're never coming back. What do they care about an injunction that binds them from coming back at that site before they pay their back taxes and get a business license? They could have done that, and we wouldn't have been here. There wouldn't have been there would have been no motion. So,
well,
these are the types of questions that we're figuring out. What's going on behind the scenes with the landlord?
Look, this is a justiciability issue.
Yes.
The question is, do the federal courts have the power to entertain this dispute anymore? It doesn't get more fundamental than that.
Sure.
And it seems to me I'd be angry if they didn't bring these facts to our attention.
Your Honor, I think that was appropriate. I think it was appropriate to advise of late developing facts post-judgment. The problem is they bear the burden, the heavy burden, of showing that there's no possibility that these activities, the wrongful conduct, could recur.
Well, there's certainly, it appears that there's no possibility of them doing it because they're no longer a tenant and they don't have a business license. And if we assume that the state court suit is going to be dismissed, then we're just left with the speculation that, I mean, anybody off the street could start doing this kind of activity at a new place if they sign a new lease and, you know,
sure,
get a business license, but that's not enough.
That's correct. A new place elsewhere in the county is not governed by the injunction. The injunction gives us relief at this location. And what I hear the court saying is, but now the injunction's not necessary anymore because these people have said they've gone forever. So, again, why didn't they just file Rule 42B dismissal? And why haven't they not done what they said they were going to do 3 weeks ago, which is move to dismiss the state case in which they're still seeking, right now there's a pending state case seeking a license for this location.
So let me just make sure, maybe it seems like there are two issues here, right? The first issue is this moot? And then the second issue is, if it is moot, do we vacate the injunction, right?
Correct.
And your concern isn't so much that it's not moot. It seems more a concern about vacating the injunction. Is that
correct.
Right?
That's correct.
Okay. So let me hear your best argument for why we shouldn't vacate the injunction.
Because even though they don't have redressability from the lack of a business license, that doesn't mean that the injunction does not have a forward-going prophylactic effect. Specifically, they would have... And one thing that the court may not understand, because it wasn't discussed in the briefs, because this all rose post-briefing, and that is that in Gwinnett County and most places in Georgia, businesses open businesses on the honesty policy. You can open on January 1st, 2024, and as long as you file for an occupation tax certificate and do this stuff by February 15th or March 31st, it's an honesty policy type situation. So what the injunction gives us that just general applicable state law doesn't give us is at this site, these people and everybody affiliated with them have to pay for the 7 years.
They have no property interest.
Well, not presently. That's correct. And they've said that they've been vacated from the premises. But I don't understand why the lack of justiciability for redressability ground on their affirmative claims does not mean...
The problem is, why isn't the fact that the injunction is predicated on the fact that they are a tenant at these premises, a fact that is no longer true?
That's true. As far as we know, correct.
Mean that we shouldn't vacate the injunction?
Because the injunction going forward, if they come to terms like they did in 2018...
You want us to legislate. You
no.
want us to tell them you can't do this in the future if you do this and if this happens. But that's not what we do.
Well, then I think maybe holding it in abeyance until the state court case is resolved makes sense because I don't know why they didn't do what they said they were going to do 3 weeks
ago. I'm interested in hearing what your opponent has to say about that.
Yeah, and we stand on our briefing on everything else, Your Honor, but again...
I mean, I think you have on several throughout this process raised legitimate questions, but it seems that every turn they've come forward and said, okay, yeah, right, we'll do that. Let's see if they can come forward and tell us that they're going to get that case dismissed as moot and then file the relevant documents with us, and then we can be done with this.
And I think we should ask them if they're going to dismiss the move for dismissal of the state case based on the same facts that were presented belatedly in their reply brief here. And if I could say one last thing.
Well, it doesn't really matter. Why does it? I mean, if the case is moot, it's moot. As you pointed out, that case is moot because the business license for which they were seeking was for a year that has expired, right?
That's correct.
And regardless of why they thought this suit should be dismissed as moot, that seems to be a fundamental reason why that case is moot. And if it's dismissed as moot, then what difference does it make?
Well, because if it's dismissed as moot, it's unclear under Georgia law what the effect of the underlying factual findings in the administrative hearing. We know under 11th Circuit law, normally those would just be binding, like res judicata or collateral estoppel on those facts, and whether the county could use that in a future application at the site. So there are some distinctions here versus there.
I just want to clarify, you threw out there that they were exploring another lease. Is that correct? Did I understand that correctly?
Well, the correspondence attached as Exhibit D to my response to the motion to dismiss show that they were talking about buying the property and that they were trying to get back into the property. And that's what they did 5 years ago when they were evicted from the property. They came to terms on money with the landlord, and they kept on going, and here we are. So because of that history, it gives pause to my client. One last thing I think about Judge Rosenbaum's question about the vacator of the injunction. Of course, the Supreme Court recently dealt with this in the HSN Hotels case and declined to revisit the U.S. versus Munsingware doctrine that when a case becomes moot on appeal. I do think that Justice Jackson had some persuasive arguments about an equitable case and when.
Yeah, that's the opinion of one justice.
We're not
at liberty to follow it.
Of course. But she did point out that there are equitable considerations in the vacater of her injunction, and I don't think any of those weigh in favor here, especially with the back and forth positioning we've had.
And I just want to, again, because your briefs and your arguments suggest bad faith on the side of Tokyo, and I just want to be clear, other than the concern about exploring another lease, do you have anything else that would suggest that they are engaging in bad faith or that they're not being honest when they say they do not plan to open another business?
It's just the facts of the 8 years of litigation from the beginning till now. And, Your Honor, I would add to that the fact that they haven't filed what they said they were going to file 3 weeks ago, and they wouldn't give us the lease.
Let's hear from them.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you. Mr. Aronson, are you going to file that motion over in state court?
No, Your Honor, I am not.
Okay.
I'm not counsel of record in that. We will be filing that.
Yeah. Do we need more than 5 minutes? I mean, I had said you could have the full 12 earlier, but Mr. Wiggins will file the motion.
Yes.
You'll notify us promptly when the state court has been dismissed as moot. Yes. Is there anything else that you want to tell us?
Yeah, and I don't know why, other than it needs to be said. The county, in this case, went out of its way to destroy a lawful business using all of their tools. There is a vendetta.
Well, their view is that it wasn't a lawful business, that you were doing unlawful activity there. But you've told us that whole controversy is moot now,
then I will respond.
This case is either moot or it's not.
It is. I believe this court's going to find it's moot. But as to why we didn't file just under 42B, we don't want this case dismissed. We believe it should be because it's moot. But I've said it more than once today. We wanted to argue this on the merits. So we were not going to just dismiss. We thought we had an obligation to dismiss under mootness. We followed our obligation to the court and our ethics. And that's why we dismissed under that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Fair enough, Mr. Aronson. Thank you. And we're going to move to the last case. Nissan versus Hyundai Motor. Action, Nissan, I should say. Thank you.